Joining us now on the Revel Wireless Hotline is Tom Withers from the Associated Press. He's a regular on this show. Tom, I do want to talk extensively about what is coming up this weekend, the rookie mini camp, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. But before we get to that, let's talk about a couple of guys who won't be on the field then, but who have been talked about a great deal in the media, at least, and that is Brandon Weeden, one, and Jason Campbell, the other. This quarterback competition and how much of a competition it's going to be. I'm not sure if I'm missing something here, because I thought all along there would be a competition, but did folks kind of get the idea maybe after the team didn't draft a quarterback that the shift or the focus changed and it was, hey, really, this looks like it's Brandon Weeden's job to lose, but now there's reminders here, but yeah, there's Jason Campbell around here.
Yeah, Vic, we're talking about quarterbacks. Of course we are. We can never go 5 minutes without talking about the quarterback in this town.
That's right.
Yeah, I didn't really make very much of a couple of recent reports about there being a competition. It's exactly what I expected. I think, you know, as you and I have talked about before, I think competition is a great thing. I don't care if it's a quarterback or cornerback or long snapper. I think it's, very important for any team, especially a team that's rebuilding and going through some more growing pains, to have competition at the most important position on the field. So, no, it does not surprise me whatsoever. I think that's exactly why they signed Jason Campbell in March, was to bring somebody in here to put a little bit of fire under Brandon Weeden. And I think the story, as much as anything, is not whether or not Jason Campbell is going to be given a fair shot to win the job, and we expect him to. To me, the bigger story, Vic, is how does Brandon Weeden respond to this? You know, if he's in fact the franchise quarterback that some people think he can be down the road, well, it's up to him now to show it. And I think there's nothing better to get coaches and this new front office in line with that thinking than to see him beat out a veteran quarterback who's made 71 NFL starts, who is a proven winner, who has all the experience that you would want to have at that position. So I think it's a very healthy thing, Vic, as I've said before.
Yeah, it's very healthy, and I think also, I'm going to use the word revealing, Tom, because I think to a great extent, Rob Chudzinski, North Turner, probably Joe Banner as well, everybody in the hierarchy of the Browns, they want to see this response, and I think they want to gauge from Weeden just how engaged he is with the idea that you're being
right.
Pushed now. There is someone here legitimately who does things the way you do them. Colt McCoy wasn't that guy. I mean, all Weeden had to do was just look at McCoy throw his first pass in an offseason workout, look at his physical stature and everything, and say, okay, that's not what I do, and
right.
I was drafted, so they've got a profile for me that he doesn't fit. It's different now because Campbell is more of that profile. And I think the other thing, it's probably, and I discussed this with Bernie Kosar as well, I think you've got to show without being prompted that you're always up to the challenge. That,
absolutely.
That it matters to you and that you're into this idea of competing. And if you reflect anything less than that, then you shouldn't be, the team shouldn't want you as its quarterback.
1,000% right, Vic. Isn't that the nature of that position? Isn't that what happens on a weekly basis in this league? Isn't the focus always on the quarterback and how he matches up with the other guy on the other sideline or on the other side of the line of scrimmage? That's what it's all about, and I think that's what this new regime wants to see, to your point. I think they want to see, hey, Brandon Weeden, if you're the guy, show us you're the guy. We brought somebody in right now, and we want to see the best out of you. So there's nothing better to do that than to put somebody right behind you that's going to push you to, you know, hopefully, you know, get the most out of your ability. So, and let's be honest too, Vic, you and I know Brandon Weeden better than this new front office does. I mean,
right.
We have a sense of what he's about. They don't know this kid. They're taking him on, you know, not sight unseen, but they don't have a whole lot of background on him. You know, they've seen him a little bit in the mini camp that we've already had, and they want to see more. So, once again, nothing better than to push him than competition.
Yeah, and what'll be interesting is you've heard some of the references about splitting reps during the off season and seeing how that all unfolds. Now, again, we're not going to get a look at that this
right.
weekend with a rookie minicamp that doesn't involve guys like Weeden and Campbell. But as we push forward in the off season, we've got yet another thing. Those of us who watch and chronicle this stuff are going to be paying attention, and I can see it now. there is going to be charting and graphing of what is going, graphs being made about how these two are performing on the practice field. Can't you just see it going through the remainder of the off-season workouts, which, what, end in early June, and then, man, we jump into training camp late July, and it's on.
Yeah, and that's okay. And I think, again, I'm really interested to see how Brandon Whedon responds to this. You know, I've noticed a couple of tweets by him here and there, you know, noting that he's been, you know, working hard every day. And I think just in getting to know him a little bit last year, Vic, just in the casual talks I had with him, you know, away from the media group and just getting a sense to know Brandon, he is a competitor. Brandon wants to show people that, hey, yeah, I might be a little bit older. Yeah, you know, people have questions about whether or not I'm good underneath the center. He wants to go out and prove to everybody that he can be the quarterback of this team for the foreseeable future. So, I think it's a really good thing. And, hey, this won't be the first time that the media has chronicled every single snap, all the body language and all that stuff that are out on the field. So I think, though, you know, given where this team is right now, this is not a bad thing at all.
No, and not that he was, I'd call, like a carefree kind of happy-go-lucky guy necessarily, because that isn't him. But I would say to you that the guy I've seen this offseason, especially around the building in Berea, primarily most of these encounters that I see are in the cafeteria because the building's under construction, as you know, being remodeled. So you kind of, that's the gathering place where you really get to see people, players and others during the day. And I see a real serious look on his face most of the time. I see a focused guy, a quiet guy. I mean, he's definitely in mingling with teammates. He sits down with the coaches. You'll see him with North Turner from time to time and the other coaches. But for the most part, the look on his face is one of all business, Tom. And that doesn't surprise me, but I think that's what I want to see right now.
No, I'm with you, Vic. And I think something we also forget, too, is that whole undercurrent of change that basically started from day one of training camp last year, and you and I have talked about this before, I really think affected people across the board. And I think for a long time it was very difficult for people to really be themselves and maybe to be the people that they were, you know, previously, whether it was in college or with another team or what have you. I can remember talking to Josh Cooper about this, Brandon Whedon's teammate from Oklahoma State early on in the season. And he said that Brandon was really struggling taking on that leadership role. I mean, it wasn't that he was uncomfortable in being a leader, but it you know, coming into a new system, you know, talking to coaches who are, you know, from the get-go worrying about their future already instead of, you know, rather than worry about who they're going to be playing this next Sunday, thinking about, you know, potentially having to find another job after the season and all that. I just think that dynamic really made it difficult people to operate under normal circumstances. So what Cooper had told me was that Whedon really wasn't himself over the first 3, 4, 5 weeks of the season. And it took him a while to really have that comfort to walk into that huddle and say, hey, guys, this is my team. Here we go. And it was tough for him, too, you know, with all the troubles they had with the receiving corps early on and injuries and right across the line. So I think Brandon Whedon, there was a lot of growing up done by him last year, and I think this year you're going to see a very different guy from day one.
Such a great point. Tom Withers joins us on the Revel Wireless Hotline on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. And, Tom, as we talk about, all right, the players who will be on the field, the draft picks, the undrafted free agents on the field Friday, Saturday, Sunday in Berea, what are some of the things? I know the obvious thing is we're all going to see what Barkevious Mingo looks like now in a football uniform minus pads, what Leon McFadden looks like out there, and we're gonna at least try to get something from that. But when you think about this, what are some of the things that you'd like to just see and focus on?
Yeah, I think the big thing for many people is going to be Mingo, and yeah, how does he size up? You know, what does he look like with shoulder pads on and an orange helmet? And I think, you know, beyond the media, I think there's plenty of coaches on that staff right now who are interested in the same thing. I mean, it's one thing in watching, you know, film of the Alabama and Vanderbilt games against LSU and then actually seeing him, and you know, they've obviously worked him out, but seeing him out there, you know, in competitive situations, you know, how quickly does he come off that ball? You know, is there that burst of speed that we've all heard about? You know, is it going to become evident right away that he does need to put on some more size? You know, is there 15 or 20 pounds of muscle that he needs to put on, you know, before we even get to the start of the regular season, if that's even possible. But, yeah, that's going to be the major focus for me. I am interested to see McFadden out there again in competitive situations. You know, how does he spot the ball? You know, what does his back pedal look like? Things like that. And I think there's only so much, though, Vic, let's be honest, that we're going to be able to take from this weekend, too. I don't think they're going to be out there, you know, knocking each other's helmets off. And they're probably going to be out there in shorts and what have you. But I think it's an important step for these rookies to come in, get themselves familiar with the surroundings, get themselves familiar with the media and everything that goes along with being a professional football player in Cleveland, Ohio. So, you know, it's a nice start for everybody. It's a good, you know, if you will, kind of exhibition season before we get to training camp. And it's a great chance for this brand new coaching staff to get out on the field and do some teaching with some young guys who need some teaching.
Now, I like how you put that, because there is a different perspective from seeing guys as we've seen, these two draft picks, Mingo, McFadden, after the draft in really nice suits and ties and, you know, just looking like young business executives, right, going to a corporate meeting or something versus being in their actual work clothes. And
and
you're right, it's not the full uniform and it won't have pads, but they will have helmets on, I think, and you'll look and see these guys in a setting that where other, and this is the other dynamic, Tom, on a football field, that perspective, surrounded by other guys who are football-sized players.
And not only that, other guys who are fighting for their football lives,
right.
Guys who want to make a career of this, who are coming in to show this coaching staff, hey, you know, there were numbers of teams in this league that made a big mistake on draft day and didn't draft me, so I'm out to prove that I belong in this league. So I think that's great, and I think for Browns fans, what you have to hope is that Mingo and McFadden come across with shoulder pads and helmets on as impressively as they did with suits on. Because I tell you what, you know, I've covered this team since 99 here, and I thought both of those kids came in for, you know, as far as first impressions go, and both really hit a home run. I thought they were terrific in the way they handled the questions. You know, there were some poignant, you know, tough questions asked of both kids. I liked the way they handled with those questions with composure, and it's going to be really exciting to see them out on the field this week.
There's a topic, as you know, that there are certain topics that Browns fans, Browns media, whatever, get a hold of and never let go. And I think it's kind of one of the cool parts, actually, of being around here, because it always gives us something to talk about. So
you
probably know where I'm going to go here, but it is about the proverbial where's the fullback? And you know, we've been hearing this ever since Lawrence Vickers became an ex-Brown. I've been hearing it a lot. I'm sure you have, too. And the question still persists, and more so now, because now that the Browns have gone through their primary shopping of free agency, they've gone through a draft, and they've gone through undrafted free agent signings, and no one resembling that position has come into play, which can lead one to obviously conclude they're happy, satisfied that Owen Marisic fills that spot, where that doesn't seem to be the case with a lot of fans feeling that same level of comfort. And who else? Well, really no one else. So I think the bottom line seems to me that this coaching staff, Chud, North Turner, are comfortable, or maybe that's not the right word, but at least confident enough that their scheme can operate without that type of that physical profile of the big, you know, banger at fullback.
Yeah, you know, I agree with you, Vic. I scratch my head sometimes about the fullback position. I mean, you know, a lot of times there's really not a need for one until you're down inside the five and it's, you know, second and goal and you're looking to go off tackle and you want to have that lead fullback out in front. Let's be honest, the new NFL, there's really not a traditional fullback position. You know, we talk about the H-back and kind of some of the hybrids you've seen, and I haven't broken down, you know, all of Carolina's film from last year by any means, or all that Norv has done over the last 5 years in San Diego, but I think they use their fullback in, you know, in times of need, and I think there were moments where Owen did a pretty serviceable job in there, and here's a kid that, you know, I haven't seen him in a while, but I have to assume that he's probably put on some weight as well, and he probably has a better understanding of what it means to, or what it's going to take for him to be a successful fullback in this league. So I think to your point, Vic, is that there is a confidence that, hey, you know, we didn't draft one, we didn't need one that badly, we didn't sign one, but that doesn't mean things can't change between now and September either. I mean, it's going to be important for them to get out there, you know, see how things unfold. Let's make sure Trent Richardson is healthy. You know, is this an offense where we can just, you know, swing the ball out wide, and we don't have to bang it in between the tackles that often, other than, again, when it's third and one at midfield or second and goal from the two. So I think it's a little bit overvalued. I think fans, to your point too, Vic, really lock in because of what Vickers meant. But Vickers meant a lot to that Browns team, and that was a very different Browns team than the one we have now.
Right. No, good point. And I think the other thing is the investment in Chris Obanaya in keeping that blocking guy that they like and that receiving guy that they like out of the backfield, that specialist sort of player that he is, complimenting Trent Richardson, I think is another statement to that effect. Tom, great as always, and I'll look forward to talking with you later in the week, and we'll do this again down the line.
Vic, my pleasure. Thanks a lot.
All right. He is Tom Withers from the Associated Press. He joins us on the Revel Wireless Hotline here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. And we've got much more coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.